Thank you. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Herbert Anderson. I'm a partner in the law firm of Phillips and Spears and Fritz and Fluff and Reagan. Here and here, we have some complaints. This legislation is now pending because it's considered necessary following the first grid choice for the urban areas of urban meeting of the city and the objective population figures in case this problem will increase. There is, of course, a conflict between economic development and the need to preserve a high quality of the environment. But in regard to this first question, what the city is talking about a very small percentage. There is no argument, no conflict over 98% of the surface of the earth. It is voted economic development, not any argument. Talking mainly about the 2%, which is reserved for recreational or aesthetic purposes, on which the desire is to preserve. The state of Oregon has between 1% and 2% reserved as water reserves. Around the state, all have more, varying between 2 to 5%. The amount we're talking about here is a fraction of 1%, very small area. Lion River is unique and irreplaceable. Lion River is the last extent, a crystal clear stream which is a source of the Lava Mountains, 50 miles to the confluence of the Lava River, is uncontaminated by man-made erosion. A unique feature of this river is its remarkable pure and clear water. The transparency of its water emits light in such abundance. Polished boulders and gravel, sparkle, and interstellar surface. The aesthetic and artistic qualities of the river outweigh the other attributes, but other features are nonetheless distinctive. Lion is a great spawning ground for steelhead and snapper. Steelhead is in the Columbia, summer months, eastern London, and tributaries in the fall of May. Many chinook and chemical will arrive and spawn in the summer of winter. Normally 29% of the salmon which pass the Canary Islands falls in snake rivers in the west of Canary Bay. Now no fish pass up Canary Bay. This gives greater importance to the remaining spawning areas of the lower river such as the mountains. Regardless of the volume and rate of oxygen exchange, spawning gravels must remain low. Studies indicate that the slight increase in suspended precipitation in the water will consequently lower gravel spawning ability, causing a sharp drop of 5 to 8 inches of front. Great indications from Asian destroys one of the entire section of the river. This canyon is now the only worst winter habitat in that area of Europe. The Game Commission advises, that roads in the area will raise the elk out of 1 million and cause the river to flood. Actually, a road up the mountain is not steep. Just above the forest boundary, first of all, wall adopts the mine river the road up the mine river from the forest boundary which requires substantial blasting, full bench construction, and the extent would be commenced. Since the forest group has realized that the discussion of 1963 is not suggested a road up the mine river. The road down the mine river, down the little mine, suggested by the Forest Service in 1973, the road is the road line canyon consists of steep mountain slopes and space walls overlaid with a moraine material which is likely to be near to the underlying rock. The soil mantle on these slopes is at the natural angle of their bulk. Geologists report that the area is naturally unstable. Any disturbance by man's activities will result in erosion, jet damage, or
Here that race Lounge.
In Bob. And it was provided to the Secretary of Agriculture to collect that portion of the area needed to protect my Canyon from the 6th Township. Now the bill is under revised and found to be particularized in the bill. And the only thing that we're here is 6th Township. Included on the 8,000 acres. And John Rogers, the Forest Supervisor, for a lot of working for us, says that the estimated timber in the mine number is 450 feet. It also, area. And this bill is not changing, but maintaining.
Union and Iowa County, I got to the people
there is a body of sentiment opposed to this, other than that which is engendered by Boyce and Cascade, and by some small group who are not large, a business group, I have heard, and I have talked to a lot of people, and I have not come across any substantial opposition. There is opposition, but number-wise, I think my
7 years. He indicated that he did know about the time period the Europe line, the geological survey had on there. He also stated at the same time the primitive area studies would have to be completed before any additional areas could be studied with the undertaking. He had a very difficult task with the 34, so all of the new areas had to be preferred. He has patience on the part of those interested in these areas, of which the minor is one of the many. Consequently, Mr. Rogers said, I stated that until the minor river area has been examined and reported on, in accordance with the Wilderness Act, no action will be taken over the present characteristics. By July 1972, the regional forester must identify and report upon unclassified areas warranting more extensive study for inclusion in the wilderness system. This study is nearly completed for the mining area. It is both mineral and other surveys by the geological survey of the Bureau of the Mines will be completed in 1971. Their reports must be a part of the record, and any significant facts they uncover included in the recommendation. We will, of course, adhere precisely to the provisions of the Wilderness Act as they have been interpreted for us. We must and do consider the desirability and need for additional wilderness. Such logical tracts of land as if the wilderness designation contained in the law will be fully covered with the wilderness alternative in the report. We must recognize the need for and importance of areas of unruly backcountry where minimum recreational facilities may exist. Such facilities, well planned and provided for, not only contribute to more pleasant experience, but also permit use a greater number of people. Site deterioration is unavoidable when there are dependencies of people and services not available. We believe that part of the Minor River lends itself to unruly factors.
Mark Jolly, I represent Jordan Eaton Environment. Federal government. This shows Northeast Oregon. And to allow us, you see the area. Cyclops of Ponderosa Pine or Douglas River. Well, I think they have a type site, and I would guess that it's type site in the very bottom of the Minum River down at the lower end, that is inside the forest boundary. Right. right in here might be type site 3, but certainly type sites up in here would be 4, and certainly 4 and 5. It might be 3, might even be a little bit of 2, as good as 2. But I'm not much of a judge of ponderosa pine type sites. But Douglas fir type sites, of course, I mean, the productivity of that valley is nothing compared to a valley of tents that size over in the Coast Range. But, of course, that doesn't mean that the people in Malawa County don't have to have an economic base. So the question is this minor river really going to take out a substantial amount? And when you consider the commercial timber that's in this valley, you'll see. We're arguing about if the Malawa County economic base depends upon whether the Minum River Valley or its health or lack of health depends upon whether the Minum River Valley is exploited to the hilt for its timber value, then it's very important. On the basis of looking at the fourth type map. That concludes my speech. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I just want to note for the record that Representative Densmore left the committee hearing at 2 o'clock, and it's now 4:45, and he has not since returned. And I just want to put that on the record, as some of us who've had to sit through these hearings, it's objectionable to me that he would leave without the excuse of the chairman.
Committee stands adjourned.
Present his opinion most forcefully to his staff.
All right.
process we now have operating provides more in the way of advocacy for the youngster than previously, because we have a tension operating. We have two different viewpoints. Let me give you an example. A few weeks ago, we had a difference of opinion around the placement of a youngster in a particular group home setting. The difference of opinion was that Mr. Pfeiffer, superintendent of the institution, and his staff were recommending that this youngster be placed in this particular group home. The manager of the parole program and his staff were recommending against it. They were a loggerhead. They brought the case to me, and I made the decision in support of the superintendent and his staff. I only cite this as a way of saying that we have also built into this process different levels of decision-making, and I hope overall that we have come up with a kind of a homogenized, unified operation rather than one that is discordant. Provides that the corrections division, at its discretion, can place a youngster, I think between the ages of 16 and 21, who has been convicted, at least who has been sent for commission of a felony to the corrections division, can it, at its discretion, place that youngster from OCI or from the women's center into one of the juvenile institutions if the particular individual can profit better for in this juvenile setting than the adult setting. And well, I think this is the hooker here that you might have to think about even. I think that the statute that would apply in terms of post-institutional planning are very much tied in with the fact that this individual is a felon rather than a juvenile. In other words, the parole planning or post-institutional planning is something that will have to be carried out primarily by the adult probation and parole staff as parole is authorized by the parole board, and planning, in effect, is approved by the parole board. It does pose a sticky question. The parole board would have jurisdiction.
Presently, the circuit judge and juvenile judge commit the youngster to children or from a parent, or does he commit the youngster to the Department of Corrections?
To the Corrections Division.
Correct, yes, that's right.
And then the statute provides that we place the youngster.
And also the release of that youngster entirely up to the department.
It's up to the administrator and or his delegate. And now what this is providing is foster placement of the youngster by the division administrator and his or his delegate.
One other question. Concerning youth care, does this bill affect the placement by a juvenile judge or youngster to a youth care on behalf of the school department director?
Commitment of youngsters to the youth care center is directly on order of the juvenile court judge to the youth care center in lieu of commitment.
Other questions?
1169 is another correction to submission bill to authorize the sale of inmate-made hobby recreation materials without the label prison made on it, and allows them to send money into an account for distribution when they get out before it's been in money. I've had an experience in the House Bill 1169 to the floor to pass. Is there discussion?
I have to confess that the
notice that went to me mentioned 1140, Hospital 1140, about which I am not informed at this time. And I came down just to see what the situation was, and then you explained to me that I am a sponsor of 1089. Hospital 1089 is, the intent of it is quite obvious from summarization, which authorizes the state of Oregon, the subdivision agency, to bring action to recover triple damages for intentional injury to public property. Establishes parental liability and designates for the minors and so on. We in the forestry field, in the lumber business, have faced trouble damages for a long time. And sometimes our trespassing is not willful. And others of you in other industries, businesses, know that there is a penalty damage clause in many areas. We definitely know that some of the vandalism that goes on in our schools and universities and elsewhere, public buildings and so forth, are just that, willful vandalism. And we very often know the people that perpetrate it. I think it's high time, and many other people join with me in thinking it's high time that some action be taken. I think we've excused this attitude too long. We have a brand new, beautiful $4 million high school in Redmond. And before the school was opened, the inside, there was about $10,000 of damage done to the inside. They found the people. Now, if the children can't be corralled, then some way we've got to involve the parents in it. Now, I know this is a harsh bill, and I know that many people will shake their heads thinking that it is too harsh, either on the children or on the parents, and particularly the parents who are not in a position to make restitution three times over. But some way, I think we've got to drive home the point that we are serious about this, that something has to be done to more than a slap on the wrist or a suspension from school for a week. I didn't have anything to do with drawing the bill, Mr. Chairman. But when I had an opportunity to sign it, I did sign it for the reasons that I've given.
I'm one of the sponsors also, for the same reason that you did. I was not interested in the grant. Brought out to me, and I'm looking at section page 2, section 1, sub 3, where it says that the defendant has no estate until the age of 21.
And the legislature benefit by bringing this bill out. And
time changed, or we had this bill in here about three sessions ago to raise that 300 to 500, and we couldn't get everybody in the room as far as liability is concerned, by the parents being liable. On line 25, today there's, I don't know if there's anybody here to testify or not. I think that this might be an indication of how people have come to think that maybe we should put some damage on them.
Yes, I think we do. And I think the public, who are not in the education area community, are looking to us for guidance. And all kinds of indications of that. And we do represent those people, not special interest, but the public at large, who are becoming frightened.
Now, on this whole thing, we have everything we do, we have a gray area between 18 years of age and 21. Parents call and don't know for me about insurance.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I'll be liable. It seems that we ought to make a stand someplace and have legislative counsel define what this gray area is. Between 18 and 21, where would they stand?
Well, I'm of the group that wants them to be given not only their voting rights at 18, because that's what they're going to get. We can't.
You want to give them,
I want to give them the majority they
need.
You bet. I don't want them to be able to go downtown and vote and not be able to have a glass of beer with them. I think one and one together.
This would be the only section we thought of. What did you mention?
Is that Denmark?
Yeah. In addition to any further remedies allowed by law and accepted that by Subsection 1 of this 1971 Act, that's what you're referring to, the parents are in so and so. I think it is tied together from a legal point of view. But this incorporates the actions of any child at any age. And I think the parents should realize that. Too often, the parent, and you know that, from your own experience in the educational world, the parents are the first ones down there defending their children against the principal or against the superintendent or something. And I think we should take it out of his hands, and he just says, well, there it is. You've got to answer to the general public, not just this school board or your friends or those who sympathize with you.
About a young girl, let's say, or someone who leaves home.
child has left home to terminate the relationship. In many cases, the parents aren't exercised. They drop their hands. I think the whole thing ought to be involved. Now, if the child, if the parent is really concerned about this, I imagine there's certain legal proceedings that they can go through to rid themselves of this liability, legal liability. We just want it both ways. We want the heart from the love and affection, but not the responsibility. We got a bad apple, it's yours.
Cornell Austin.
third, the bill makes no provision for payment of teachers for these premarital courses, meaning either the teachers offer courses on a private fee charging basis or the education institutions somehow consider inclusion of such courses in their curriculum. The fourth concern is we seriously doubt that increasing the waiting period from 7 to 30 days would have any effect on delaying and closing marriage. Now, I think a basic principle here is if you've got a law, able to enforce it, and in effect, I don't think you can, because they can go to join the state. And to me, that's an important principle, at least as a marriage counselor in working with children. And if they face up to their age. Now, Mr. Kahn, the other day, presented a great deal of documentation to the office. I'd be the first to admit this to him. But as far as this being the solution, I have some real serious questions as to our organization. First, we value the impact of education, but we recommend an ongoing inclusion in the primary and secondary public school curriculum of family life education before persons are emotionally committed to marriage. Second, we recommend any effort to strengthen services quality of family life in our culture. Family is the human being. The very best education for successful marriage is the experience of the child growing up in a relatively healthy, normal, safe family. Here he learns firsthand the appropriate roles of husband, wife, father, and mother. Identification and modeling are effective ways to learn to be. These are our basic concerns and recommendations. Again, recognize the problem, which we have a solution. But the question is, this would be the most effective.
Mr. Osborne,
yes.
What, do you have any objections to the creation of the breakdown of marriage and family life? Perhaps not going full extent, but the creation of the
company. That would address the subsidy here. There needs to be some vehicle for directing our energy to the front. This may be one.
Question.
Would you favor, we're talking about, I think, is making, trying to impress more clients, young people who want to get married, desire to learn things about the steps that you can take in order to make the marriage decision a lot more complicated, make it something harder. They have to really decide to get married. Do you also follow on the other end of the spectrum that we should try to make the same effort on the board? In other words, I sense that we're becoming much more sensitive to letting people have the board between them and the board. California has gone to a law where you just have to say that you just can't get along. Do you think we need to make the same effort as the other to be able to let it work? I'm trying to say.
I certainly agree that we should. I'm not quite sure the vehicle for doing that. And I'm not sure that more stringent legislation on the board is the way to approach it. But I share your concern. And I've talked to people that were ready for divorce and at the same time rebuilt marriages. And if they didn't have a chance to talk to someone or find some other way to get them, they would have been divorced. And divorce usually is a fairly destructive experience for most people. Not always. It certainly can be. I'm sure we all know that. Mr. Howard.
Mr. Osborne, what would be achieved by setting up section 1 and 2, if eventually we weren't going to go on with the rest of the deal, that would be setting up a recruit teachers within their the marriage counselor and all this. What would be the purpose of this group?
Providing of a council, on marriage and family living, we would highlight and focus the attention of Christians in the state on this very important process of learning how to make, give a chance to a marriage. Now, in my teaching, I learned that so many of the students wish they had learned 5 years before we get them to the university level what some of the risks and some of the responsibilities would be. In other words, our mass media gives them romantic ideas. We try to bring realism. And I believe that a council on marriage and family living at the state level could begin to work through ways that we could approach this huge gigantic problem of preparedness, if you want to use that word. We socialize people for all kinds of vocations. We socialize and prepare them in skills. But what do we do about the skills of interpersonal conflict? And this is what I feel that I'm bringing up in the group.
You speak to the whole bill. You agree with the bill that does require the council?
I think there are certain areas in the bill that we would feel we were going to look at more because of the difficulty in finding feminist counselors or finding of the council state
not particularly representing anyone. I have been involved with Mr. Katz and also with this somewhat. He asked several of us a couple months ago to look over his ideas, and we did so. I think the idea is tremendous. I think that it was appropriate. I personally would like to congratulate Mr. For this, because this is above and beyond his duties. And I think it's entirely on the basis of his caring for human beings. I myself have been involved with the nitty-gritty of these things for 20-some-odd years. It's a little different than an educational establishment like this. It's a little more real than that. I personally would like to see this expanded somewhat. Mr. Cox's thesis of education being the only valid method really is very, very true, but then you have to define education. If you mean education within the school system, that's one thing. If you mean education for family living, the reality of the community as it exists, that's another. Sometimes those two things don't exactly mesh. I've had some experience in one in our community when they call family life education, that several years ago, a group of us here did try and establish this family life education system or sponsored in the Salem School District. And while we have made strides, yet essentially it was shot down because the public in general looks at this as sex education rather than the broader terms of what we're talking about, the realities of marriage as far as buying an automobile, renting houses, this sort of thing. So there is a lot of emotional overlay in just the terms. I think you have to be careful. Then on this specific bill, as we discussed previously, there is some question on who and how. Certainly our educational system at the higher level has not produced family life educators. The teaching curriculum as such, even as far as sex education is concerned, consists of, correct me if I'm wrong, some 3 hours during the 4 years. So you find that the majority of teachers, either from themselves personally, their own hang-ups, or certainly in training, are not prepared for this kind of thing. Now, realistically, however, if anybody looks at the things like Mr. Cox has documented, we set up church, home, and school as the three primary areas. You look at our divorce statistics, and very rapidly, about 50% of the children don't have a solid home there. We know from numerous statistics that about 40% of the children under the age of 12 have never been inside a church or Sunday school. So that leaves the only other area, unfortunate as it is the school system. But it still has to be a prepared school system. Not only that, but then that doesn't mean you don't, or that you deny the importance of the home and the church. But being practical, it has to be an amalgamation of the three in some manner to approach this. It, in a way, bothers me personally a little bit. Still, his approach to another symptom. We have the abortion bill, and we have the drug abuse bill. We have this bill that just came up, the punitive one on the 1089. And if you really look at it, basically, all these are like the tentacles of an octopus. Everybody's grabbing hold of the tentacle, and it's just rather emotional because they're hitting people where they live. And so we have another bill. And then we set up another commission. I was on the one at the state level as an alternate on the Sex Education Commission or study group or whatever to Mr. Parnell. So you have commissions, studying commissions, and each one of them grabbing a symptom.
I would hope that a council like this, maybe it shouldn't be called this, but I think it would get at what Mr. Conner is saying much more in depth if it would be a council, maybe do away with your other abortions and on all the symptoms of drug abuse and so on, and have a real commission on whatever you want to call it, society ills or some appropriate term, but deal with the disease rather than, or the diseases rather than the symptoms. And I think maybe this is the beginning that it's been referred to by both the previous people. Then we're starting to get something, but there has to be a beginning. If you don't start, and it's got to be at the state level, I think through the legislature. Because I don't think you can assign this to any one judicial area or educational area or whatever. And this commission should be, or council or whatever it is, should be a broad one, and it should be a dedicated one. And I'm sure that there are these people present in the state. They're dedicated and willing to spend time, effort to start looking at the disease rather than the system.
Thank you.